Channel One right in the beginning of this surprise visit with Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne. Suzanne and Ms. Guthrie had been together all day, and they had just got back from Ocala with Faye. This Tuesday, the 6th of July, 1971, right after the long weekend of the 4th. Channel One right. And beginning the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne and Faye this Tuesday, the 6th of July, 1971. Channel One right.
You better not mention anything more about tomorrow and about that album. Maybe you just forget about it.
I bet I can't forget it.
I just barely got in. I never saw a cloud act like that before. Down here, I was out there on that hill, flying away, and right square in the southeast. Way down, just low as it could get. You know how it gets? It's solid, dark blue. Well, I said, them people getting it over there. But you know, it kept getting higher.
And you stayed right all night then, got wet?
No. No. I figured, I saw it coming, and I watched it, and I saw the rain in it. And I thought to myself, if I don't move, I'll have to run for it. And I would have had to run for it, except I pulled in Faye's little garage or the thing there. If I'd gone on out to the corral, it would have got me. Oh, man. It was just solid blue.
We could see it from Ocala.
Yeah.
Coming up.
But it was up above you.
No, it looked low and dark from where we were, and we could see it coming. And about the time we left Ocala, it looked like it kind of circled around in front of us, and we were going to end up driving through it.
Yeah, you all could just gone back and had a Soviet. Yes, you all just rolled right into it, Miss Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Who was your driver?
Slow and careful.
Say, you all could have stayed down there and just had a soda.
Well,
you drove right into it.
I tell you, Scott, I did the best I could to get them to get a soda. Didn't I?
Sure did.
And what was it you kept wanting?
I tried to get her to buy me a house trailer.
Yeah.
She wanted to buy me something, and I told her to get me a house trailer and then come on down the road. And I told her, I said, you might stop and buy me an automobile.
I never saw so many of them house trailers in my life. Place just full of them down there, isn't it?
But she wouldn't talk about buying me a house trailer.
Well, finally
say, wait till the next time.
Well, anybody got house trailers on their mind, better ought not to go down that way, ought they?
Ought not to.
They wind up with one.
Well, Lord, you ought to hear what she and Marvin got on their mind.
Huh?
That boat kicker.
Yeah, but we got it off, too, when I found out how much it was going to cost me.
What did you have on your mind?
Buying us a boat and a kicker so we could go out on the lake and ride and fish.
Yes. You mean a what kind, yacht? I mean
No, just a little fishing boat and a small kicker.
Well, now you've seen my boat.
$741 worth.
I just can't believe it.
Well, what is have a refrigerator in it?
No, just a plain little old fishing boat and a motor.
I just can't, that's hard to believe.
Without even cushions on the seat.
No cushions. Well, them there little old motors, they'll run you $300 or more, over $300.
Is that what you call a kicker?
Uh-huh.
I'd call that a motor.
Well, a motor.
I don't know the language they use.
But you already heard what I heard.
No telling.
I think you better go ahead and tell him and just get it over with.
I heard it all day yesterday on the news.
Yeah.
It told a man's name and he's suing his wife for a divorce and alimony.
Yeah.
Down south here. He says that she makes more money a year than he does. And she's got a better job and she's able to pay it and she's younger.
Yeah.
And he's suing her for a divorce and alimony.
Yeah. With a straight face, you reckon?
I reckon so. He talks like it's straight.
And what'd you tell her? What'd you tell us? That's the truth.
That is a fact. That's a fact. He carried it to court. Got him a lawyer.
Well, he must be serious then. He went to court.
Sure did. Well, you know, they passed, when the women got their rights, they passed that law that a woman, under certain conditions, if she got a divorce, the man could make her support him.
Yeah.
And so now this being tried in court. And I told them that if that man won out, we're in trouble.
The women are in trouble.
That women is in trouble.
He told Marvin, he says, who we? We women.
That's right.
I said, we're in trouble. He said, who we? I said, us women. If that man wins it. There'll be more men getting a divorce and making the women work for them than a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, that puts a different look on things, don't it? Marvin.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's mainly what we talk about.
I can give you ulcers.
Yeah.
Every time we think of something else, Miss Mary would remind us of what was in front of us.
Did you ever think you'd live to see that?
I didn't think I'd ever live to see that.
No.
But that's the way it is.
You'd have to get Miss Claire and take Marvin to court.
Yeah.
Who's Miss Clara?
Sergeant Lamb. She's a lawyer in Gainesville.
Oh, yeah. Well. Yeah.
You know what they had for lunch, guys? And they just gloated over all the way down to Ocala.
I was thinking about calling y'all up and saying, it's too bad you didn't make it over. Look what I'm eating.
They had bigger rabbits.
Oh.
Glad y'all have.
We had Brim.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Hush puppies.
Yes. And pickle rabbits.
No, we just had pickles.
Like I had?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there goes anything. All by themselves. You don't even have to eat bread with them.
We get the vinegar and pour it on the fish.
Yeah.
She had hibiscus and hush puppies.
And pickled green tomatoes. And pickled green peppers.
Pickled green tomatoes.
Well, the pepper was in with the tomatoes, you know. Marvin's got him a little old hog pen, that little old pig pen. He brought home some green bell pepper and put in there. And it really did make.
You mean in his hog pen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, you know. Yeah.
And I put me, James brought me some more bell pepper and some hot pepper, and I set out a hill of hot pepper and a hill of bell pepper, and the bell pepper will be hot. It will, it'll mix.
Oh, will it?
It sure will.
Right there in the pig pen?
Right there in the pig pen.
You know, I'm prepared for that. I told you I went over to see Jack Herring. You know Jack Herring?
Jack Herring? No, I don't.
Oh, we're making over there. Screwball. Runs around, used to with Buster all the time.
I don't know.
Well, anyhow. Well, I guess maybe I didn't tell you. He got married. He's been married several times. And this little girl he married had one eye, but she was smart. And we went by over there, and they had pigs all sizes, just beautiful creatures. Well, the last I heard of it was they was having fights down there in the red and white store. And she's flailing him with her briefcase, her satchel.
Purse.
And I don't know what he's doing to her. Well, anyhow, the last time I saw them was a Saturday morning. I went by there to see Jack, and he wouldn't talk to me. He had his head down, and she's out there helping him, and she had her head down, and I get out of the car talking. Why didn't he talk to them? They'd had a bad night or a bad week. But anyhow, they had something in a little pail there, and they was taking it out. It looked like putty, and putting it around those plants, a pepper plant and several little plants. And I forget the conversation. Jack wouldn't say what it was. He said, "This is making them grow." And I said, "It will." And she says, "Yes, that's pig manure." Well, sir, you see, they was bringing it to the plants.
Mm-hmm.
If they just put the plants out there in the pig pen, they could have moved the pig pen, couldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you did.
And you know, you can put pepper requires chicken fertilizer. Chicken fertilizer is just as good.
Oh. Well, now, Jack finally said there was nothing better for those plants, peppers or something, than that pig manure. And they can make things grow.
Don't you want to go lie down?
I feel fine.
Ain't you tired?
No, I feel fine.
What is she tired about?
Going to Ocala.
Well, you don't know what it is to go with them two. And I was in the middle. And then have a storm come up beside.
They was eating donuts.
And a divorce case.
And they brought me two of the gummiest donuts you've ever seen. They wouldn't eat them.
Yes.
But I had to eat them. Because I didn't have any brim for breakfast, for lunch.
Yeah. Well, she just hit it. she just hit the right time over there.
Yes, she hit it the right time.
You don't have that every day.
No. No, I don't get the chance to fry fish every day. I even carried it down to the creek, showed her the park, and Margerton and Rollins home before we ate dinner.
That's yeah, right before we ate. We just.
Oh, you just showed her around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you never showed me around.
Well, yeah, I don't. Haven't you seen the Margerton?
Yes, but I don't know where anybody lives over there. She gets favorite treatment, Faith.
Yeah.
I tell you, I was sitting on the doorstep. There's a little box there. It says, I'm gone across the field to check on the fence. Be back in a few minutes. You know. Well, I'd wandered around there for 5 minutes waiting for somebody to show up before I happened to read that note. It's just as clear as a bell around the
floor. Well, I was looking for y'all to come and Julia called. And I did have to go down there and see about the fence. You know what? And she told me she had these brim, and I wrote it on the box and set it up there so if y'all come, you could see it. So I went and picked up the fish and come on back down there. The other night, Marvin's sister come from Miami down to Cross Creek, and she called us and told us she wanted us to come down because she couldn't go everywhere to see. So we got in the car, and we done gone to bed, got up, got ready, and went on down there. We didn't stay very long, and come back, and the fence was down at the mailbox. And my little cow, the midget cow, was standing out there.
Yeah.
And there was a big car parked there and had their lights throwed on it. And we just drove up and just come right on to the cow, you know. And them people lit a shuck and they didn't say nothing, but they evermore got away from there. And I didn't think anything about it till we got the cow back in, the little old cow, fixed the fence. And Marvin said, what do you think about that? And I said, why, what about it? He said, them people was fixing to get that cow. He said they wouldn't have left there like they did.
Right there on the main road.
Right there on the main road, right there at the mailbox. Right at the corner, the fence was down. And she was out. Just standing there in that car. And Marvin said what he thought. There was a car coming from towards Pfeiffer. And we was coming from towards Cross Creek. And they was just waiting till the cars got by. And they was going to shoot it and put it in the car.
Oh, yes. Yes, that wouldn't be in trouble at all.
Not a bit.
Well, what do you know?
That was really brave, or whatever you want to call it.
Now, what did he do?
Who, the man in the car?
No,
the
Marvin.
Marvin? Marvin just put the cow back in and fixed up the fence.
Well, he drove up there.
Right between the car and the cow. The little old cow was standing outside of the pasture by the highway, and these people were sitting there with their lights shone on the cow.
On the cow.
And we drove up there and stopped, and they naturally took off.
Well, you know, them car lights, you can hunt by them.
Sure.
You can kill a cow or anything. They was talking down here the other day, going out at night and shooting armadillos. You know, the car light.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be dangerous, wouldn't it?
Golly. Oh, that just was no time at all. From the time you went down to see Marvin's sister.
And we didn't stay very long, and we come back.
Now, wait a minute. Let me get that mixed up. I got it mixed up. You all went down to see, that was at night.
Mm-hmm.
And you all went down, where was it?
To Snow's and Alameda's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Marvin's sister had come. They had a trailer. And they had been to the mountains. And they were on their way back to Miami. And they called us and told us they was coming up. and they wanted us to go to Salt Springs. That's where they was going to park the trailer. But she came on up to Ella Mae's, Marvin's sister's, and she called us and wanted us to come over. And we went over for a little while, and when we come back, the fence was down right at the corner, and that little cow was out standing by the highway, and this car was there, had its light right on her.
And it wasn't down when you all went?
No, sir.
And of course, you all see things like that.
And the cow was inside.
No wonder you can't leave home.
No, we can't go anywhere.
Where is Julia?
Julia? She's working at World Coast.
Well, I mean, that's where you went this morning.
Mm-hmm. But she didn't have to go to work today till 12 o'clock.
Well, who is Julia?
That's Marvin's brother's wife that lives across the field.
Yeah, I just don't know her. That's where you got the brim.
That's where we got the brim. They went Sunday and called.
A big bowl full.
Oh, really? You think this coming back?
No, I think it's, I don't know. I believe it's old Miss Mary's right now.
You reckon?
It looks kind of dark in that direction.
Well, I'll tell you, it's wet now. You can't do anything anyhow. How are your peas?
Just fine. I've been a-hoeing them.
They're big enough to hoe, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I've hoed them out and got to hoe them again.
What did Marvin do to them after that afternoon we was over there?
Well, he's been busting out middles and plying them and fixing land. Got some more to plant. I got some black eyes to plant.
Too late for millet, y'all just put peas out there.
No, it's not too late for millet. But man, I'm telling you, you ought to see my clover.
Clover?
I got it planted just in the right time, and it has come up just as thick. Now here, I got a stand clover. If I just have luck to raise it and save some hay.
Over at the Denham place?
Mm-hmm.
You got field plowed up over there?
Sure have.
Marvin plowed? You can't get anybody to plow for you, can you?
Can't get nobody to do nothing. That man that was coming to work on the house, I didn't even hear from him till last week. I went off and there's a note on the door. He'd be back Monday to start on the house, and I just politely wrote him a note and told him he didn't bother about coming back.
Let me tell you, if you let that bird start in on anything, I just won't know what to think of. That was, did she hear about that?
No, I don't know. No, I didn't.
Tell her a little bit about that.
But I told her about the man coming out there and wanting to work on the house.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
He came first to, what was he doing, selling magazines?
He wanted to sell me paper. Wanted me to take the Tampa Times Union. He was delivering papers. Wanted me to subscribe for it.
Well, how did he get around to the house?
Well, he quit, he said. But I figured he just was going to beat me out of $700.
Why, Miss Mary?
Now, a white man or a colored man, it don't matter.
It don't make any difference. But I wrote him a note, and I told him, Jay, he needn't bother about coming back ever.
Did he get the note?
He must have did, because he didn't come back. And he need not to come back.
Now, he's from Island Grove?
No, from Citrus. His name is Ford.
Was he colored?
No, he's a white.
He's white. Ford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd do the same thing if somebody was to come up here and look at my roof and tell me that thing is just going to fall apart, you know. I'd be inclined to listen to them. Or, you know, just any little thing like that. If it just happened in here, they could take me.
Why, no telling what he'd have done to that house.
No telling.
You know, she ought to, how can you get Hard Knocks without having to pay for them? Now, you see, she not had Hard Knocks. You can tell by looking at it, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to get them, wouldn't she?
What time is it coming?
What time is it coming?
Oh, I don't know. Jim and I managed to get swindled one time.
Did you?
We hadn't been married 2 months. Not even 2 months, a month.
Last year I was at home in the close to me and Lance said, "Lady, I'd like to buff your front porch and polish it for you."
Yeah.
Demonstrate his vacuum cleaner. I said, "You're welcome to." So come right on in. He come in and he cleaned my porch, you know. Just as careful to clean it and he buffed it and he waxed it, you know.
Yeah.
He got through and he said, "How about selling it to you?" I said, "I don't need it. I got one." He looked like he wanted to kill. He wanted to say, "Well, why don't you use it?" But I got my porch done. He didn't ask me, did I have one? He wanted to demonstrate it and show me how it worked. And I let him use it. He ain't been back no more.
I guess not, Mr. Ray.
I bet he thought that I was an idiot. I didn't care how much he cleaned the house.
I bet he felt like an idiot when he was through.
Whenever he passes there, he remembers that.
You reckon he ever passes that? I bet they got off and just cussed. But they didn't ask me, did I have one? He didn't say nothing about selling it. Tell me till they got through, told him I didn't need it. I already had one. Which I did the same time. I like it, look. That's the only time I ever meet anybody.
Were you feeling sort of mean that morning?
No. Not a bit.
Hey, see what happened if you've been feeling mean.
I just was nice to the man. He asked me to let him demonstrate, and I said, "Just help yourself." Just before Marvin come in just to say he was leaving, he said, "What was them jokers doing?" I said, "In here cleaning the porch."
I hope Marvin appreciated that.
He did. He laughed about that thing.
They got it coming.
He walk in, somebody like me, I'd end up buying the stupid thing.
Well, I didn't need it. I already had one. There wasn't no use for me to buy there.
I don't know. I get took so much.
I do too, Mr. Miles.
I got so I don't take it personal anymore.
I just got to where I'm more careful.
Yes.
Just like that there joker was. I studied about that thing and I didn't want Marvin to fool with him at the first place. And he wanted the house fixed. Well, I know the house needs fixing. But you just think, they ain't but two ends of that house to fix. And $700? That sounds to me like a pile of money.
Yes, they're not building a house. Just
that's right. And I told a man, I said, but before you fix the sides, I said, the top's got to be fixed. And how about the underworks of it? I said, they may be some of the sills gone. And I said, it needs leveling up. Oh, no, it don't need the leveling up. Well, anybody got good sense can stand out there in the backyard and look at the kitchen and tell that it's going the other way.
Oh, really?
Sure it is. The idiot could tell that.
Well, you show me sometime.
Well, you can see.
How come?
You can look at the kitchen and tell it's going west, leaning west.
Well, how come it to do that?
Well, I don't know whether the seals just give away or what.
It wasn't built that way.
No.
How far back does that go, Mr. Guthrie's time?
Well, not as bad as it is now. See, it used to have a back porch.
Yes.
And we tore the back porch off of it and never did. And it was sometime during that time that porch was took off. We've had some terrible, that old house has had some terrible winds. And I will tell you, it had some of it yesterday, too.
Well, what happened over there yesterday?
It just absolutely come a storm. And it was black as night.
Oh, you mean it got dark?
Yes, sir. It really, the wind blowed. I'm telling you, them treetops was going way down.
Oh, you had wind.
I mean, we had rain and we had wind and we had thunder and we had lightning.
And it was really cracking around there.
It sure was.
You pretty well exposed. You got trees, but they're trimmed up.
Mm-hmm.
See, my trees are way down low there where I got a little protection.
Miss Miles, you look like you feel bad.
Me?
We better go back down to O'Keller.
Give me another donut.
Well, you had company though yesterday. You wasn't there by yourself.
Oh, Marvin was home.
Yeah. Just Marvin?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
See, the other folks, they come back by, but they didn't stay too long. They didn't stay as long as they thought they were.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Marvin's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You
now,
want to?
I don't know her, do I?
No, that's his baby sister. She lives in Miami.
What's her name?
Thelma Griffin.
Selma.
They left one of the girls in Miami, and they decided they better go on home before the traffic got bad and see about her.
Oh, before the 4th, yeah.
Yeah.
Was all this heavy traffic got on.
Yeah. Well, they don't come up this way much.
About once or twice a year.
Oh, that much?
Uh-huh. They come down on the 4th of July. They go to the mountains and spend a week and come back by, and then they come down sometimes during Christmas holidays.
Oh, really? Are they pretty well healed?
Pretty well.
Yeah. Some of Marvin's rich kinfolks.
They're not rich, no. He's got a good job. He's an electrician. He makes about $6-7 an hour.
Yeah. Well, you know, if your kinfolks get to be too well off, they kind of forget to know you.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they're going by your place, they don't seem to remember you live there. That's my experience. Oh, I've got in a number of people I sort of halfway grew up with, you know. And they don't even remember. remember me.
Oh, shoot.
You know. It didn't rain much here.
It didn't?
Uh-uh.
Let me go home and see what it done over there.
Okay.
Get Cindy out
well,
from underneath the bed.
Yeah. She got under the bed yesterday. She sure did.
Is that her place?
When it's bad weather and she can't get us to leave home if she gets under the bed.
And she's smart dog.
Yeah, she's nice
though. She's scared, just as scared of bad weather as I am. Well, I'll tell you this, Mom.
You're real sweet to go down there with
me. Me and you and Marjorie, might all have to camp together. If we do, let's go down to Orange Lake and put us up a tent.
Okay.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
We
yeah.
lose our husbands.
Won't have no electricity, no phone, and no nothing.
Yeah.
We'll just go down there and live with the cows.
Because you said the best thing we could do would be to get in first.
That's right.
I wish that'd be nice. That's got an advantage.
Sometimes I wish I was like Woodard Nanny. Yeah. Live way off where there weren't no electricity, where there weren't no phone calls, and no bills to pay.
The only bill I've ever heard of Woodard speaking of is that cooking gas.
Mm-hmm.
And that ain't very often, you know, no more than they use.
Mm-hmm.
No telephone.
But he'd have it if he could get it.
He would.
Yes, ma'am. He's been electric for years. And he can't get it.
Oh.
I didn't know he'd even thought about it.
Oh, yeah. Old man Sartsey, the president of it, he wouldn't let him have it.
Yeah. Oh, he wouldn't run it back there.
No, he wouldn't run it back there. You know why? Because they thought they'd discourage him and he'd sell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, y'all come over home with me.
Let me see if I... Let me say. Did you tell me about old man Nat Turner?
Nat Turner.
No, that's wrong word. Sam Turner.
Yeah,
Sam Turner. Yes.
Yeah. What did you tell me?
I don't know.
He lived back up there past Coleman.
That's right. Way back up the railroad.
Way on up towards Rochelle.
Rochelle.
That's right. That railroad goes right through Rochelle, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And he had a big family place back there.
Mm-hmm. Had a pretty place.
And you've been back there?
Plenty of times. Used to go there and spend the day with Mrs. Turner. Spent the night with her.
Oh, really?
When I was sick, she'd take me in and keep me.
Hmm.
And she had a boy, and his name was Curtis. And he went for bad.
Oh.
And he drank. And you better not fool up with him either when he was drinking. And I'd heard so much about him, and I was scared to death. And he's the nicest feller I ever met in my life. He's just as nice as he could be. He'd leave home and go somewhere that night and come back and peck on the door. And Miss Turner would answer him. He'd say, Mother, I'm home. And he'd go on home, go to bed. And Curtis was just as nice a guy as I ever met up with. He died when he was young.
Uh-huh.
He had pneumonia.
Mr. Turner and Mr. Guthrie, they did a lot of things together.
They cow-hunted together. They had cows and hogs on the lake, and they cow-hunted together. And Curtis did, too.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now that lasted way on. How long did Mr. Turner last?
Oh, Mr. Turner lasted a long time. His daughter is living in Micanopy.
Yeah.
Leola Abel.
Leola Abel.
Leo Lee, just beyond Thrasher's store.
Yeah. Well, now, does she, do you ever see her?
Yeah. And we call one another up and talk.
Oh, do you? Well, and she's brought up back there.
Yeah, she was brought up back there.
Well, now, is she the one that sold the old man out?
That's right. She come up here from Georgia and sold them out and moved them to Micanopy.
Oh, she's married and settled up in Georgia.
Yeah, her and her husband's been separated, though, for years. He left her when she come up here and sold out. Now, I heard, I don't know how true it is, that he rolled them for all the money he could get out of them, and he was through. But she told me the other day, I was talking to her, and she said she had to go up in Georgia and see about her property.
Yeah? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
The old house gone?
People has tore it down and hauled it off.
Oh, I didn't know.
Sure did.
Nobody there to hinder them.
Nobody there to hinder them. And the people that own the land, I don't get scared.
Oh, they didn't own it any longer.
The Turners didn't own it. The people they sold it to, the Pulpwood people.
Oh.
In Palatka.
Oh.
Owns it now. And they knew it was being torn down, but they didn't do anything about it, so I don't guess they cared.
Yeah.
It was a good house. It was a fine house.
What did it look like?
It was a nice house.
What did it look like?
Big white house setting out in the woods.
What'd you see? One story?
One story house. It was real pretty place. Well, y'all come over to the pit sometime.
Well, I'm sorry I missed that stuff.
Sitting there on the porch, you know, waiting for her when I saw that sign. She came up in the truck with those fish. She had on an old green and white striped dress, pinned at the top, pinned in the middle, the hem out all around. But we came in the kitchen, and you know, I said that the wasp bite was bothering you and you'd gone in to get something. She said, "Well, come on in." I said, "All right." She said, "Have you had your coffee this morning?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I'll make you some more if you want it." And I said, "No, that's all right. I already had some." She said, "Well, let's go on out to the porch." So we went out to the porch, and she pulled up a red rocker for me, sat down one herself, and we sat there and talked till lunchtime.
Don't tell me.
We did.
On the porch.
On the porch.
Back porch?
No, that front porch. Out there, you know, facing the road.
Yeah.
She'd sit there, and she could, there's one tree out there. It's got a branch that goes off to the side, kind of level. And she'd sit there and watch that off and on while we were talking. Because she said the squirrels get out there, and the woodpeckers get out there, and they have fights over the nuts. And the squirrels sit up there and just cuss out the woodpeckers, and the woodpeckers will sometimes manage to steal a nut from a squirrel once he's got a hole in it. She said, and I just sit here and watch them. But I remember what she told me. I was fine. We got on to the police a little bit. About they're just no damn good. She said, yes. Yeah. She says, there used to be a preacher around here, had four daughters, and every one of them got pregnant. She didn't say they were married. They got pregnant. She said they used to say you could go into Gainesville on a Saturday night, and there wouldn't be a policeman inside. they'd be all over at Sammy Lynn's. I assume that was a preacher's name. With his daughters, and all the cops would be over there.
Well, now that's the first sin I've heard her speak of.
That, I don't even know if I can tell this. She asked about Jim later on while she's cooking lunch. And I said, well, he's taking courses in forestry, but he worked a little bit up there at the university. She says, well, y'all know Joe Smith? I said, well, I've heard the name Smith. I said, I'm not real sure if Jim knows him well. She says, well, he's a good friend of ours, and he was out here with, I think his niece. I think that woman they call Julia. I think this is how that got started. And they're going out fishing on Orange Lake. He said, I don't think I can tell this. He says, he's talking to his niece. He says, I can catch more fish with a string tied to my Peter than you can. I about died.
So, she said that.
She said that. So that's what he said. So they went out fishing, and the girl just beat him.
Well, he was beating her.
Yeah.
Taunting her.
Yeah. He says, I can catch more fish. And she went out and beat him.
Yeah.
She brought home big string. She got more than him and bigger fish. Well, Miss Guthrie, of course, told Marvin about this. Marvin knows the guy at work. So she says, you know those men up there, they get around at lunch and they get around, sit around and tell nasty stories and things like that. You know, his men talk. Marvin let it get around.
Oh.
And so, of course, all the men start, she said, and they just ragged him to death about that.
Joe Smith.
He said, and Marvin, he says, he didn't know how it got there. I guess he didn't know Miss Guthrie overheard it. He couldn't figure out who told him. He says, I never thought that'd get to the university. I said, Miss Guthrie, you should have known it, would it? So, Marvin drew him a picture and put it on his desk. It shows this man and this woman standing on the edge of a lake. She says, and he's got a string tied to his wiener. And he wrote in at the bottom, the woman said, Joe, you got a bite? And she just laughed. She's, you know, she's putting fish in the frying pan and making biscuits.
She's just that mean old little cow.
Oh, really?
She didn't tell anything besides that, but she was just as mean as she could be.
Well, that wasn't even the high spot. She got on to the lawyers. She says, them lawyers is all crooks. I said, Miss Guthrie, you're right. And I mentioned, I didn't tell her Mr. Eastman's name, but I mentioned, you know, his vision about the special hell for lawyers. She laughed about that. She shook her head, you know, and rocked back and forth and laughed. And she got on to when Mr. Guthrie died. No, it was before that. Let's see, how did it go? First, it's Mr. Guthrie dying. And he had the son and the daughter down in Tampa. Tampa, she calls it. And Mr. Guthrie had fixed up things. He'd given the boy and the girl all the property in Tampa and fixed the will so that they would not get anything of his property up here. And he'd left Marvin some stuff, too, I think. Well, the boy, Miss Guthrie said, and she said, and you know what? I went to my lawyer, and he says, do you have any money? She says, no, I don't have any money. He says, well, you need some money. She said, and you know what? It cost me $1,000 to get that will probated. I said, Miss Guthrie, was he your own lawyer? She said, yes. Says, but he charged us $1,000. Well, she's going strong now. She went on with that a while. And then she said, and that boy of Mr. Guthrie, he said, he came up here and he threatened me. He says, I'm going to come up here. They bought a new tractor right before Mr. Guthrie died. I'm going to sell the tractor. I'm going to sell the cows. Mr. Guthrie left him half the cows. I'm going to sell all the cows. I'm going to sell this home place, all the land, all the equipment, and the house. And he says, and you're just going to get a child share. And Miss Guthrie says, all right, you just do that. Says, you just take it to court. So she went to her lawyer and asked him about it. And she'd already paid her $1,000, so she figured the lawyer was hired. You know, she wouldn't have to put out any more money in a court fight. And the boy, the son, evidently came up to Gainesville. She says, I think he came up to Gainesville and talked to his lawyers and found out how much it was going to cost him to take me to court. Because if he lost, he'd have to pay everything. And I already had my fees paid. So she never heard anything more about that. And I said, well, Miss Guthrie, it looks like he thought he could just walk all over you. She says, he did. He says, some people think that, but he found out different. And then she got on to one of Mr. Guthrie's nephews and a niece, Fred and Ruby. And she'd taken them to court because there was 30 acres of land between her and the road that Mr. Guthrie's mother had left to his sister. And for years and years, the sister lived in Ocala, and she hadn't paid any taxes on the land. Mr. Guthrie had gone ahead and paid the taxes, even though the land belonged to her. And they wanted to buy the land. You know, they just wanted all the unit. They didn't want it going to anybody else. Well, the sister died and left the land to Fred and Ruby. And Miss Guthrie got to thinking about it and worrying about it. And they were still paying taxes, and she said she didn't see why she should pay taxes on land that didn't even belong to her. If they wanted the land, they could pay the taxes on it. So she went down to Ocala, talked to Fred, hunted him up, and she said, and I told him my business, and I told him I wanted to buy the land for whatever he wanted for it, that we've been paying the taxes on it for years. And he said, if you've been paying the taxes on it, then it's yours. And Miss Guthrie says, our name isn't on the deed. And that's what she wanted. She wanted her name on the deed. So Fred says, well, we'll be up. Ruby and I'll come up and we'll get it settled. We'll sell you the land. She says, I never heard from him. I went back. Went all over it again. And he promised faithfully. He promised and promised that he'd come up here. And he never came. So she went a third time. He still didn't come. So she decided, well, she'd go hunt up Ruby and see if she could get some sort of life out of her. So she went over to Ruby and told her the business. And Ruby says, oh, yeah, okay, we'll get Fred and come on up and get it settled. Never saw her. Never heard from her. So Miss Guthrie wrote her a letter and said, we'll take it to court if y'all don't come up and just do something about it. We're going to take it to court. She said she saw him one day, Fred and Ruby and Ruby's husband, who was a tax assessor, and they were looking at the land. She says they were counting pine trees. They were just out there by the road counting pine trees, and they didn't come up to the house. So she got in touch with Miss Clara, she called. Clara. Gian.
Where did he go?
Gian. Gian. Clara Gian.
Gian, she said.
And she said, and Miss Clara is smart. She's just as smart as she can be. And she deals with land problems. So, you know, she's getting livelier and livelier about this, you know, and new chairs start rocking back and forth. You know? And she'd lean forward, and every once in a while she'd just break out laughing, and she got to the court case. She said she got Miss Claire to write them some letters, and they wrote two or three times, and never heard, and never heard. So they finally, they just went ahead and had it fixed up to meet them in court one day. Well, she said, you have never seen anybody so mad in your life as Ruby and Fred. They were just furious. And they hired them a lawyer. And the lawyer came into court and saw Mr. Guthrie, and he says, well, Mr. Guthrie, how are you doing? He says, how's the fishing down there in Orange Lake? I've been meaning to come down there and fish with you for a while. They got in a lawyer that was a real good friend of Mr. Guthrie. And they didn't know it until they got in the court, and then old Ruby and Fred sitting there find out their lawyer was a good friend of their Guthrie. So she got, you know, she laughed about that. And before they went in court, she saw Ruby. And she says, now, I always did think Ruby was just the sweetest looking thing. And I told her, I said, Ruby, you're just as pretty as you ever were. Ruby kind of gave her this mean look. Didn't say anything. Kind of like, you know, you're just riding him. Miss Guthrie, you know, repeated it. And she meant it as a compliment. Ruby got in the court and told the judge that Miss Guthrie had said, repeated, you know, you're the sweetest, you're still just as pretty as you ever were. But she tried to make it sound like an insult. And the judge looked at Miss Guthrie. Miss Guthrie didn't say a word. She just looked back. She just crossed her arm and looked back at the judge. She said, if he wanted to think a compliment was an insult, that was his business. So they got in the court and they went all through this business, and the lawyers would ask Ruby or Fred to describe the land. They couldn't. So they asked Miss Guthrie, can you describe the land? She says, no, I can't describe the land. All I know is it lies between me and the highway. You know, like, what a dumb question to ask. So she said that, you know, she's evidently pretty confident when they're in there. And Miss Clara, Area just kind of swept the court, and she said, and Fred and Ruby just sat over there just getting madder and madder. I said, if Fred hadn't been in court, I bet you would have heard some language. And she says, oh, you know it. And she laughed, you know, she said, she's having a ball. And of course, they ended up with the land. She said they didn't find out for a month after the case was over. She called up Miss Claire, and Miss Claire says, oh, I was just going to call you. She says, they gave us the land. So Miss Guthrie, you know, she just celebrated. And she said, I said, I bet they called Ruby and Fred the same day. I bet they didn't celebrate. She says, no, they didn't. And they haven't been back here since.
I never heard about that. Now, way back, when I first went over there, she talked about the people at Tampa.
Well, that's, I think, Mr. Guthrie's son and daughter. Oh, she says they got all the money they can use.
Yeah.
He's got, she listed all the things he owns. She says they live on Brad Street, which I guess is pretty well-heeled street.
Yeah.
He's got land, and he's got cattle, and he's got this, and he's got that, and she listed them all, and then he tries to come up here and take my stuff.
Yeah.
She says, but I wouldn't know what. I'm going to take it to court.
Is that right? That's Mr. Guthrie's
son. By his first wife.
Oh. Well, now, I've never heard about that side of it. If I had it, it's been so long, I'd forgotten about it.
Well, he was evidently grown and pretty well established when Mr. Guthrie died. Mr. Guthrie must not have died all that long ago.
Oh, he just died since I got here.
But
he was in the 90s.
Yeah.
And he got, you know, just the staff got lower and lower. And I never saw him when I was over there. I don't know why I avoided going in. I should have gone in, you know, just gone in like Ratliff and let him tell me things. I don't know why I've been so dull all my life.
You've seen that picture on she's got on the table.
On the white horse.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, he had that accident, you see, and he couldn't ride the horse over his reins there. And that's the thing that hurt him the most.
Yeah.
He could get around, he could transact business, but he couldn't ride that horse. So you see what sort of life he led. And that accident was way back. Oh, I don't know, somewhere around World War II. That was after a short time after Marvin came over there, I think. Oh yes, he was down for a long time.
Well, she fired up several times, but that was the longest thing she stayed on.
Fred and
Ruby.
Ruby.
And the court case. She was having fun telling us.
Yeah.
First thing she said when she saw me was, I sure have had a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, she is nice. I sure have had a good time.
Well, now you see, they just have endless experience to report on, don't they?
Yeah.
You don't have to open your mouth. But they can listen too. I found out Everett listened. But I think they do better doing the work themselves, huh?
Somehow I had a feeling today that she didn't want to say anything that was straight. She'll pass the liquor store and say, well, we could go in there and get all liquored up and dance or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
but
beer and dance for a while.
But, you know, it wasn't tacky,
yeah,
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was,
well, you know, I had a feeling when you all left here, I just had the feeling that she was right in her element. She was out doing something.
Yeah, she says they, you know, she misses that so much. Just out and around, you know, visiting,
yeah,
having people over. She says, and she got on that several times. They get on these highways and they just drive here and there, the beach and the mountains and Daytona, and they just don't come to visit. This
yeah
is when she's telling about the 4th of July celebration.
Now, Harvard. What was that?
Oh, we got on Mr. Weaver a little bit. She said he's the first man ever cut my hair.
Yeah? How about that, Faye?
I said, I forgot how I brought it up, but, you know, about his dogs. And she said, that's all he talks about, those dogs. And then she looked at me and she says, people don't believe this, but he was a handsome man. She says, I told Marvin, and Marvin says, I just don't believe it. She says, but when he was buying furs, he used to come over here, see Mr. Guthrie, because Mr. Guthrie was trapping. And they'd get out there at 1 o'clock in the at night, you know. And sometimes he stayed till 4:30 in the morning. And she says, whenever you'd see him, he'd be dressed up just fit to kill. He'd have on a bow tie and a white shirt, and lots of times a suit. And she said, you just couldn't find a handsomer man.
You mean even out there?
Well, that's the way she says, anytime you'd see him, he'd have that bow tie on. He'd
even
be
out
dressed
on the
up. Yeah. That's what she didn't say. She just said, anytime you saw him, he'd be dressed up.
Yeah.
I don't know if she meant when he came to buy the furs or not. she thinks she still's got a lot of money.
Well, his word over here was that he hadn't had the money since the Depression.
Yeah.
He was a bank director.
Yeah.
At bank stock.
She said they lost some money that way, too. She didn't go into it much, so.
Yeah.
But, anyway, we got on the 4th of July, she said he hunted, had the dogs, and he bought furs. He had the barber shop, he said, and he got tuberculosis, which is why he had to quit barbering. She says, I think that's why his wife maybe left him, because he had tuberculosis. But I said, well, did you know he sang, too? She said, no, I didn't know that. I said, well, it's when he's young. He says, he used to go to singing schools. She says, oh, yes, we used to have those around here. And she says, in 4th of July, everybody in this whole country would get together down there in Orange Lake and have some fish fry. Everybody.